Toronto and specialized in anesthesiology. Don practiced in Vancouver and then in Victoria at the Royal Jubilee Hospital before retiring in 2000. He was first introduced to UU in the Bush Thunder Bay and later joined the Vancouver Church under Reverend Bill Hewitt. He's been a member of this church for 30 years. Andy Lee says, "Seldom have I met such a steady, reliable guy. Don't ask him to vote his own accomplishments either. He just works quietly and effectively on behalf of the church to get things done." Hugo Sutmuller says, "As board president, Don is the voice of reason and humor." As Don lights the chalice, I'm going to share the words of one of our Unitarian giants. "Any contribution I have made pales in comparison to the many, many individuals I used to regard as giants. And I often wondered what I was doing in such a crowd. But I have come to realize that each one of us is a giant in some way. That comparisons are futile and that we all have gifts to share." If you haven't guessed yet, those are the words of our beloved giant, Tom Armstrong. And Marcus is going to read us a story for all ages, so if there's any children who want to come forward, now is a great time to do that. You're welcome to come forward.
Young of heart at any age, come on up. We've got a little story to tell. And I'm going to ask for everyone's help telling the story. Up for making some noises this morning? Are you up for making some noises this morning? Oh, thank you. Okay, good thing. Okay, so this is a story. Did it snow here as much as it snowed in Vancouver this year? No. Oh, I'm moving to Victoria. This place is great. Yes. Have you lived in Vancouver? Well, it snowed a lot up there, and it snowed a lot, but less still than where I came from before that, which was Western New York, a faraway land. Have you lived in Western New York too? No? Okay, good. Well, this is a story about a barn. Do you know what a barn is? And a blizzard. Do you know what a blizzard is? No, you'd have no idea what a blizzard is. No. A lot is exactly. You do know what a blizzard is. Well, so Anna lived on a farm. Have you been to a farm? What's on farms? Animals, cows, sheep, pigs, chickens. Yeah, exactly. Anna, it was her job on the farm to take care of all of the animals. So every morning, Anna would wake up and she would yawn. And then she would go out to the barn and she would feed the cows. And she would feed the chickens. And she would feed the sheep. And she would comb them. Oh, yes. And she would feed the ducks. And she would feed the goat. There was just one goat. Oh, good. And she would feed her famous, the beautiful horse. And then she would go back inside and go about her day. That's how it was. Every morning.
How about a horse in your bathtub?
No, the horse was not in the bathtub. The horse was definitely in the barn. So, one day, Anna woke up and she yawned. And she went to go feed the animals, like she always does.
She did it wrong.
You did it wrong?
I'm wrong. Actually.
Oh, well, she actually this morning woke up and she opened the door to go feed the animals, but you know what? She looked out the door and she couldn't see 2 feet in front of her. Because there was so much snow coming down. The blizzard was coming down so fast. It was like the whole world was white. Like you took white out from a piece of paper and you put it all over the whole world. And the winds were howling. And Anna was so scared she slammed the door shut. Oh, thanks. That's great. And then she got worried. She got worried because she couldn't get out to feed the animals, and she knew the animals needed to be fed, or they would be hungry all day, and so she went to her grandpa. And she said, "Grandpa, Grandpa, oh no! I need to go feed the animals, it's time, it's my job, but there's a blizzard out there. I can't see 2 feet in front of my face, and the winds are howling!" Oh. And so her grandfather said to her, "Anna, It's time you learned about the rope. Oh, that's much better. Thanks. The rope. And Anna said, the rope? And grandfather said, yes, there's a rope that goes from the back door of the house. I'll show you. You've never noticed it. Oh, it's a little high for you. You have to reach up and hold it. So Anna came out the back door and she grabbed a hold of this rope that was high up. And she and her grandpa all bundled up, walked along holding the rope all the way out until they reached the barn. It was a rope there just for this purpose. And they came into the barn, and of course, she fed the cows. And she fed the chickens. And she fed the ducks. And I think we got the cow, right? The sheep. She fed the sheep. Oh, and she brushed the sheep. And the goat, the one goat. And the horse, her favorite. And then she and her grandpa, they opened the barn door and the winds were still howling. So they grabbed a hold of that rope. And they held it, and it led them all the way home. So they didn't get lost. Have you ever been lost?
I did.
Yeah. It cannot feel very good. It can feel kind of scary to get lost. So I hope, as you go on to your religious education classes and we sing you out, that you do not get lost. And I hope that when you do get lost, because we all do get lost in life sometimes, I hope that there will be a rope there to guide you home.
Social Responsibility Coalition about Action for April concerning the Site C dam.
Volume number hasn't been working.
Peter, can you bring up the handout?
No. The circus did, so you just have to speak loudly.
Okay.
I'm speaking on behalf of the Social Responsibility Coalition about our action concerning the Site C dam. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
If you hold it very close to the mic, then it works.
Okay. As is often the case with SRC issues, more than one.
Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah, Tom? Okay. And as is often the case with SRC issues, more than one of our Unitarian principles is involved. Respect for the interdependent web is clearly involved in this one, but use of the democratic process may be particularly relevant in light of the upcoming provincial election. We recognize that people of integrity may have different views about these complex issues. There appear to be grave problems associated with the Site C hydro dam on the Peace River, where preliminary construction activities are already underway. The biggest problem may not even be the environmental impact, but the financial viability. It appears likely that the huge financing costs, $9 billion, not counting probable overruns, will inflate our hydro bills for the foreseeable future to produce power for which there is no clearly defined need. In the process, we will drown many First Nations traditional and burial sites and enough prime farming soil to feed 1 million people. The project has not even been allowed to be reviewed by the BC Utilities Commission, and last year the Royal Society of Canada wrote to the Prime Minister and issued a statement signed by 250 scientists and academics expressing deep concern about significant gaps and inadequacies in the regulatory review and environmental assessment process for Site C. The Social Responsibility Coalition invites you to ask your local candidates for MLA if they would favour halting construction on the project pending a much more thorough assessment of the financial, environmental and First Nations issues. We also have a petition at the SRC shelf calling for a construction halt, which will be presented to both the federal government and the post-election BC government. The 7 UU principles speak to our ideals and hopes. This month, the Share the Plate recipient, Sierra Club of BC, is chosen as a responsive action to our collective support for free speech, democracy, and the interdependent web of all existence. The Sierra Club is a long-established BC charity, And they've been one of the lead organizations in educating the public about Site C problems. A lot more information is on the back of your order of service and at the SRC shelf. As we unite, the world unites.
Just last weekend, the Reverends Hartley had their official installation as the co-ministers of the North Shore Unitarian Church in Vancouver. Congratulations to them and their new congregation. Reverends Emily and Marcus moved to BC from Rochester, New York, with their one-year-old son, Henry, in July 2016. They met and studied together at Star King School for the Ministry in Berkeley, California, and they will now lead our meditation.
I invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Your feet may find the floor. You are welcome to take in a deeper breath. A meditation, a prayer from the Universalist tradition. There is a love holding all that we love. Let us rest in this love. First Unitarian Church of Victoria, in this love. Musicians, artists, creators, dreamers, wonderers and wanderers, in this love. Parents, teachers, mentors, friends, family, beloveds, in this love. Rivers, valleys, oceans, mountains, sky, in this love. Turtles, sparrows, spiders, dragonflies, elephants, octopus, all in this love. All those living with illness, in this love. Lonely people, worried people, afraid people, in this love. All the places around the world with conflict, violence, war, in this love. Whatever is alive within you, heavy on your heart, lifting your spirits, held in this love. For there is a love holding all that we love. We rest in this love. Amen. And blessed be.
A reading to begin. A beloved poem, you may know it from that poet of the Northwest, William Stafford. There's a thread you follow. It goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread, but it is hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen. People get hurt and die. You suffer and get old. Nothing you can do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread.
A few months ago, I was navigating an unfamiliar neighborhood. And I had just come from an appointment, and I was sort of rushing to another appointment in my tightly packed, scheduled day. My mind was jumbled with my to-do list, and I was paying more attention to the clock on the dashboard than I was to my surroundings. So instead of turning left, I made a right and drove directly into Mount Hope Cemetery. One wrong turn and you end up in the graveyard. I thought to myself, and I had to laugh because it sounded ridiculous, even inside my head. Ridiculous but honest. Doesn't life feel like that sometimes? If we make one mistake, if we're not paying attention at the right moment, we're doomed. Sometimes it seems like one wrong turn can ruin everything. But that afternoon, instead of taking the first roundabout as a chance to immediately correct my mistake, I kept driving, going further into the cemetery. The afternoon sun was warm and bright, the air breezy and fresh. The sloped landscape was speckled with old headstones and old trees. It was a different world than the busy intersection two blocks away, and I slowed the car down and I parked in the shade of an oak tree. I took a few deep breaths. Maybe I had not made a wrong turn after all. What if on life's journey, on the spiritual path, there are no wrong turns?
There's an app that you can download on your smartphone. It's called GPS for the Soul. That's a good name. It's got a lovely little meditation, you know, images and nice words and calming, peaceful music I think can play in the background. And I even occasionally make the wise choice to pull that app up instead of my news feed and or checking the latest urgent email or whatever else it is. But the truth is, as nice as that app is, there is no GPS for the soul. There's no map to navigate the vast reaches of our inner lives. The territory of the soul cannot be navigated by turn-by-turn directions. Sometimes this truth is a breath of fresh air on a busy day. It's the truth that brought Emily's that moment of rest, resting in the beauty of the world instead of frantically trying to find her way out of the cemetery. In Unitarian Universalism, it's this truth that we hold on to guard against dogma, the rigid maps of religious traditions that would proclaim there is one way and only one way. But sometimes we find ourselves like Anna in the blizzard, desperate for a map, a guide, a rope, a thread to follow. Have you been there? Do you know what I'm talking about? That place of lost and longing. And I think in times like that, I've sometimes felt that our find your own way faith can feel feeble, weak. In times like that, the truth that there is no GPS for your life's journey can be disappointing, if not devastating. In the introduction to his book, A Hidden Wholeness, Parker Palmer, the great Quaker teacher, writer, spiritual guide, he talks about that rope that farmers in the plains would use to keep from getting lost in the blizzard. He writes that today we live in a blizzard of another sort. It swirls around us as economic injustice, ecological ruin, physical and spiritual violence, and their inevitable outcome, war. It swirls within us as fear and frenzy, greed and deceit, the indifference to suffering of others. We all know stories of people who have wandered off into this madness and been separated from their own souls, losing their moral bearings and even their mortal lives. Some of us fear that we or those who we love will become lost in the storm. Some are lost at this moment and are trying to find the way home. Some are lost without knowing it. We live in anxious and uncertain times. Some days it seems that the whole world is on the brink of disaster, and that's been more true lately than for a while. Even when we're grounded in ourselves, connected to those we love, we can find ourselves struggling to make our way through the blizzard of the world. In my first few months at university, 17 years old and 3,000 miles from home, I was lost in the blizzard as I have ever been. My personal sorrows and pain over the state of the world had collided to land me in a deep and lasting depression. And after spending a week receiving care in an inpatient mental health unit, I returned home lost and defeated. For weeks that became months, I struggled to spend even moments alone, struggled to leave the house. I'll never forget the first Sunday that I came back to the Unitarian Universalist Church of my childhood. I was bursting through tears throughout the whole service. And as I wept with the sorrow of my own and all that felt like all the world's woes, I was gently, warmly enfolded into the loving embrace of my community. What saved me, what healed me, what made me whole was not psychiatrists or time at the hospital or pharmaceuticals or therapists or exercise, though those were all helpful, especially exercise. What saved me was a religious community, a religious tradition that told me to seek support anywhere I could find it, to open to Buddhist teachings and practices of mindfulness, as well as to the wisdom in the scientific tradition of psychology, psychiatry. What saved me was a religious community that told me with so much more than words, you are loved. At the root of it all, there is a love holding you, a love holding all, no matter what you do, or what you say, or what you think, or what you feel, you are loved. When I couldn't hold the thread for myself, my community held it for me. When I had given up on my own inner guide, what Parker Palmer would name as the soul's order, my religious tradition tied a rope to the barn so I could find my way home. Palmer writes again, "My own experience of the blizzard, which includes getting lost in it more often than I like to admit, tells me that the soul's order can never be destroyed. It may be obscured by the whiteout. We may forget or deny that its guidance is close at hand. And yet, we are still in the soul's backyard, with chance after chance to regain our bearings."
Have you ever walked a labyrinth? Not exactly the ones with wrong choices and deadly minotaur, but more like that on the marble floor of the Chartres Cathedral. I have never been to Chartres, but I have walked reproductions of that labyrinth many times. There are no wrong turns in a labyrinth. The only choice is to take the next. Walking in a labyrinth, the only place to go is in, deeper and deeper towards the center. In a labyrinth, even when it feels as if you are moving away from the center, you are still moving closer. It is the only way to go. The church that welcomed Marcus with open arms knew the truth that he couldn't hold for himself. The congregation saw him through the turns of this winding labyrinth, even when he was certain he had taken a wrong turn. Ours is not a dogma that becomes irrelevant, not a guidebook or a set of directions or a map out of the maze. It is a thread to hold along a labyrinth. Its guarantee is not that it will lead you anywhere in particular, but that you will be held along the way. That you are not traveling alone, that others have walked this path before you, that others will follow. That there is a center and a wholeness to the journey, even when it is hidden from view. Unitarian Universalism, we are a tradition, a people following the thread. And yes, you have to explain this to others, and it's hard for them to see. You have to explain that you hold on to this thread, this tradition, that you're not alone. Tragedies happen. People get hurt or die. We all suffer, and we all get old. And here, holding on to the thread together, lighting candles together, we navigate the blizzard. We do this in community. Of course, it's difficult to explain in casual conversation. I think, can sometimes get a little bit obsessed with an elevator speech. How do you say all the things that make up this faith in 20 seconds? I know that I have struggled with this myself. A few weeks ago, I was having this conversation with a healthcare provider, a nurse, and in our sort of casual back and forth, she asked me about my profession, and when she heard I was a minister, she asked me about my faith. She said, "What does Unitarian Universalism mean?" "I am professionally trained. I went to graduate school." In order to respond to this question and articulate our faith. So I rattled off my 30-second standard speech without thinking too much. I said, "Unitarian, which means one source, we're all connected." And knowing I was talking to someone who had shared that she was a believer in God, I used some God language. I said, "Universalist, which means we believe in a loving God who would not and cannot damn anyone to hell." "Well," she responded after a moment's pause, "I'm a Christian, which means I believe in a loving God too, but he has standards." I was speechless. My jaw hung open. Later, upon reflection and with a little bit of support from some colleagues, I realized what I wish I had said in that moment. "Well, in our tradition, we have standards for God." We have standards for God or for any ultimate truth. So many of us are drawn here to this tradition because of a powerful no. We say no to a patriarchal God, no to a fairy tale God, no to a God with a magic wand or an all-seeing map for our lives. No to dogmatic religion, no to religious shame and guilt for not believing in a particular way. And underneath these no's courses a stream of deeper yeses. There is a thread we follow. Contemporary UU theologian Rebecca Parker articulates four strands that form the core of our theological thread. She draws four boundaries, four places where Unitarians say no in order to say a deeper yes.
First, she says, you can hold a view that there is no God or that God exists. But you cannot hold the view that God is the all-powerful determiner of everything that happens, such that there is no exercise of human freedom. Unitarian Universalism is clear that there is some measure of freedom accessible to every living being, given in the nature of things. Our thread is freedom.
Second, you can define salvation, healing, and wholeness in many ways, using many different types of language. But you cannot hold the view that there will be an ultimate separation of the saved from the damned, by which the good are rewarded with eternal bliss and the damned are punished with eternal suffering. Unitarianism is clear that all souls are of worth. Our thread is salvation, healing, and wholeness that is universal for everyone.
Third, you can be devoted to a specific religious practice, such as Christian prayer or Buddhist meditation or pagan ritual, but you cannot hold the view that there is one religion that encompasses the exclusive final truth for all times and places. Not even Unitarian Universalism. We're confident that revelation is not sealed. Our thread is openness. Our thread is continuing to learn and grow.
And finally, Parker articulates, you can see this world as tragically flawed, wondrously gifted, or both. But you cannot hold the view that salvation is to be found solely beyond this world, in some life after death or a world beyond this one. Our tradition is clear that the ultimate is present here and now. Our thread is this world, this beautiful day, this life, this here and now.
We name this thread as the theology of connection. We say that in the face of all of our internal blizzards, all that pulls each of us apart and threatens the wholeness of our souls, connection is the thread we follow. If your beliefs lead you to be more connected to your deepest self, to others in your community, your family, your workplace, to the great earth community to which we all belong, then those beliefs are in. If they lead you to be disconnected, to treat others poorly, question your own value, then those beliefs are out. No to all that separates us, yes to connection. Our thread is as simple as that.
Friends, the world is in a troubled state. The blizzard of despair and injustice and environmental catastrophe is real. And so too is the thread.
Hold on to the thread. Not just for your own life, but for the world. Not just for your own life, but for this life-giving, life-saving religious tradition.
Addressing the challenges we face together on this planet will require the wisdom of our faith. There is no one way, but there is a way.
The way is freedom and healing and wholeness that includes everyone. The way is always staying open to new learning, new truth, and the way is to remember that what matters most is this life, this world, this here and now.
Don't ever let go of the thread. May it be so. Amen.
Amen.
May all hearts this day and every day sing thanks and praise for all that is our life, for all that is our life.